context of some of the sugyas, and is also a Pesachim topic, so it also fits for the Masechta this year. And that is the topic of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, or not tzrichos kavana, depending on your perspective on the issue. And that's the problem, because it's a little bit vague, it's unclear what the story is as far as kavana. And the Gemara, in a couple of places, raises the issue, and we don't really have such a clear maskana. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings it up in the context of two mitzvos, the two that we just alluded to, one in the context of Pesach. So the Gemara raises the question of matzah, is it possible to be yotzei matzah without having kavana to be yotzei matzah? Now, if I asked you to make up a scenario where that would come up, you could probably think of a number of scenarios. The Gemara has a kind of unusual one, which we'll stick to their example because it may be relevant why specifically the Gemara uses that example. So the Gemara says, kafo parsoyim, if somebody is basically held hostage and they force him to eat matzah against his will, so is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah? He didn't do this on purpose for the mitzvah. He was forced at gunpoint, essentially, to do it. So is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah? And the Gemara suggests that it seems to relate to another issue, the issue of hatakei elishir. What happens if one on Rosh Hashanah blows shofar, but not for the purposes of fulfilling the mitzvah of shofar, but for the musical value? And he happens to do it in a way that would otherwise be satisfactory for the mitzvah of shofar. So do we assume that that is a fulfillment of shofar? So it's not so clear how the Gemara concludes there on either of those points. Elsewhere in Shas, the Gemara makes reference to related ideas, the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, that talks about Lulav and Esrog. And there the Gemara says that there's a whole issue that Rishonim talk about, which we'll come back to in a few minutes, about how do you make a bracha on Lulav and Esrog when, in theory, you want to do it as close to the mitzvah itself as possible. So you want to do it over Las Yasin. You want to do it immediately before picking it up. And the issue is that once you do pick it up, so then the Gemara says, Midag Bey, Nafik Bey, that as soon as you pick it up, you're Yotze. Sounds like right away, Mimele, you're Yotze without whether or not you have Kavana to be Yotze with that lifting it up. And there's also a Gemara Maseches Nazir on Daf Chav Beis, where the Gemara has a number of interpretations, a number of different comments about Kavana in terms of Averis, in terms of Mitzvos, in terms of Averis Lashma, whatever that means, the idea of well-intentioned Avera. And the Gemara comments in the Pasuk, Yecharim Darche Hashem, God's ways are straight, Tzadikim Yelchubam, Poshim Yikashlubam. Tzadikim will travel along God's path, and Poshim, they will stumble on this path. So the Gemara talks about different possibilities of what that means. What's the idea? The same path can take you to different results. So one of the examples the Gemara gives is, oh yeah, let's say somebody Pesach night, so he prepares the carbon Pesach. Two people do the exact same thing. One person eats it l'shem mitzvah. One person eats it l'shem achila gasav, just for eating beyond what's necessary or beneficial. So the Gemara says the first one is the... Tzadikim Yelchuba, the second one is Poshim Yikashluba. And then the Gemara says, that's a little bit much, you know, okay, so Nehidu Lavid Mitzvah Menam Uvchar, so you didn't do it the best way, we're going to call him a Rasha for that, that's because it wasn't with a proper intent, it's hard to believe, so the Gemara gives other interpretations. So what exactly is the Gemara saying? Is the Gemara saying that the lack of Kavanas Mitzvah makes it nothing, it makes you a Poshaya because of that? Or is the Gemara retreating from that when it says that's not a mitzvah and a muvchar, but it's not a rishus either? So it's not really clear from these Gemaras what is our final view on this issue. So nice, mitzvah srichas kavana, or mitzvah saints srichas kavana. So of course it continues to be a machlokas. The Rishonim line up different sides. We could go through a list, but we won't go into so much detail right now. But the Rishonim who say, yeah, mitzvah srichas kavana, and the Rishon will say mitzvah ain't srichas kavana. And the Magid Mishnah and others raise the question on the Rambam, but the Rambam seems to split the difference in terms of the two cases we mentioned at the beginning, that in the context of matzah, so he seems to say that one can be yotzei matzah without kavana, And in the context of shofar, so he says that you have somebody blowing shofar in shul, so nobody is yotze until there is kavana both from the shemei and the mashmiya. The one who is blowing the shofar and the one who is hearing it, they all have to have kavana in order to be yotze. So the Magen Mishnah and others raise the question, so how is this consistent with his attitude by matzah, where he seems to say that you don't need kavana? So there are different approaches to that. We'll come back to some of the different ways of looking at that issue, some of the different suggestions that are brought forward in terms of resolving that. The Shulchan Aruch, it's also unclear what his status is on this. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Samach, in the context of Kriya Shema, that one has to have Kavanah. So there are those who say, okay, Paskin mitzvah srichas kavana. There are others who say that no, maybe he just means that mishum safek, that maybe the whole issue is a safek of halacha, what to say. So maybe kriyashma is a mitzvah deraisa, okay, so says sveka deraisa lachumra. So he's advising to have kavana because of a safek, and that's the nature of the psak, but he's not necessarily taking a stand on it. Others, Chayyadim, and others also maybe modify what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. Maybe he means he's saying just if there's no other indication that the mitzvah is Lashma, so Kriya Shema in theory you could be reciting for Talmud Torah purposes, you could be reciting for other reasons. So maybe if the mitzvah isn't obviously a mitzvah that is an action that is for the purpose of a mitzvah, so maybe then you need Kavada, but maybe the Shulchan Aruch is not making a sweeping statement. So there's a lot of debate about how much to derive from the Shulchan Aruch on this issue, but this is really the closest that he comes to taking a stand, and it's a debate as to what exactly he means about it. There is a little bit of a suggestion, as Chemed mentions, others talk about that maybe the even if you say mitzvah srichas kavana, we mean on a level of the Rabbanan. It's unlikely, most don't accept that idea. Sounds like from the Gemara that if you don't have Kavana and you assume you do need Kavana, so it sounds like that's like a misasek, like the mitzvah is really done without any type of meaning. It sounds like it's a more fundamental type of disqualification. So it's not such a popular idea, this idea that it's a din derabanan if you assume you need Kavana. So most assume that that is an integral part of the mitzvah. But what does it mean when we say that you don't need Kavana? If one takes the view that mitzvahs ain't srichos kavana, if that is one's position, so what does that mean? What does that say about the whole thing? So here you find different views as well. There are those who maintain that it means what it sounds like. It means mitzvahs don't need kavana, that a mitzvah is an action. God tells us to do an action. If we do the action, we're good. And the kavana doesn't really enter into it. While there are others who maintain that no, that's not the case. That really mitzvahs do need kavana. But we can borrow a concept here. The Mishnayos tell us in the beginning of Maseches Zvachim that even though korbanos have to be brought lishma, and that sometimes makes a big difference if the korban's not lishma, nonetheless, there is also a idea of stama lishma, that it's assumed that a korban, without any other modification, is there for its own purpose. So without saying that it's not lishma, so then the presumption is lishma. So maybe mitzvos have the same idea, that maybe when it comes to mitzvos, so we also say stama lishma. So it's not that mitzvos don't need kavana, it's that mitzvos have their own kavana. It's that if you do a mitzvah and you follow all the rules, so we can assume that it's considered to be for its own purpose, and it's considered to have the appropriate kavana. So then mitzvahs ain't sriches kavana doesn't mean mitzvahs don't need kavana. It means mitzvahs already have kavana. So they do need kavana, but they have it. They don't need you to add kavana to it. So this seems to be the presumption of the Noda Bihuda. The Noda Bihuda has a tshuva where, as you know, the background, the Noda Bihuda was a big misnaget. It was very opposed to the nascent Hasidic movement. And one of the issues that he took great issue with is the practice of saying L'shem Yichud. Chassidish practice, to, before you recite, before you perform a mitzvah, to recite the L'shem Yichud Kud Shabrichu. He thought that that was really not necessary and also not indicative. And part of his opposition to it, not just of saying that you don't need it, but saying that you really shouldn't do it, is that he writes it undermines the concept of stama lishma, that if we're going to assume that our mitzvahs are in general considered to be with a proper kavana, so then once you start saying, okay, I have to recite before the mitzvah, this is my kavana, then that's going to make the implication that without this, I don't have the right kavana, and without this, I'm missing something. So that was one of the reasons the Note of Yehuda was opposed to it. You know, parenthetically, you do have those who maintain that that's why Chazal ordained brachos, that brachos ha-mitzvah are maybe, you know, a type of l'shem yichud. It's a way of focusing the attention towards the performance of the mitzvah. So there is some precedent for that idea in other sfarim, but in any event, the l'shem yichud, which would often be recited on top of a bracha, you'd have a bracha and a l'shem yichud. So the Note of Yehuda didn't think this was either a good idea or should even be done at all, and he put in there, so we mentioned how the Gemara darshans that pasuk of Yisharim Darche Hashem. So he wrote Yisharim Darche Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchu Bo VeChasidim Yikashlu Bo. The Chasidim stumble over it. So the publisher of the Sefer was himself a Chasid, so he took that out. He put in the way the pasuk says, Poshim Yikashlu Bo. And supposedly, I think Rabbi Shechter relates that the Note of Yehuda responded to that. He says, I took the poshim, I made them into chasidim. He took the chasidim, he made them into poshim. So he thought that was that whole fight. So this could affect another major issue in the Rishonim. That if you want to say that it's not that mitzvahs don't need kavana, but it's that mitzvahs already have the kavana, so there is a major issue among the Rishonim whether or not there is a concept called kavana hafachis. Now, what if one wants to have negative kavana, or literally translated upside down kavana? Right? So even if we want to maintain that mitzvos ain't srichos kavana, so what if I not only don't have kavana, but I have specific kavana not to be yotzei the mitzvah? So that was a machlokas among the Rishonim. And the assumption is you're not doing this because you're anti-religious, presumably. If you do, you may not be so interested in the whole sugya. Presumably it's because you have an opportunity. Let's say you're doing something right now which could be a mitzvah, but it's not, the circumstances are not perfect. And you want to do the mitzvah when the circumstances are perfect. So you don't want to be yotzei now, you want to be yotzei later. So a primary example, many poskim hold, some disagree for various reasons, and many poskim hold that one fulfills the mitzvah minat Torah of Kiddush by davening in shul Friday night, even if they don't make Kiddush in shul, but just the davening itself might be a fulfillment of the mitzvah minat Torah of Kiddush. So there's a whole discussion that Dagon Mervava has, is that a problem for when you want to go home and make Kiddush for your wife, now she's chayev already during Kiddush Daraisa, you're only chayev Darabanan, is that a problem? Well, this week's parasha, Parashas Nitzavim, is one of the mekoros for arvus, the idea that you should be able to fulfill a mitzvah on somebody else's behalf, even if you're already yotze. So technically, that should have been the answer. There's also a little bit of a connection to this topic, which also justifies it being discussed tonight, because it's a little bit of a Nitzavim topic. But why he doesn't think Arvus works there is a whole thing based on a rush, a whole different discussion we can have a different time. But in any event, so the Chassam Sofer recommends there. The Chassam Sofer has two tshuvas. One, they sound a little bit different from each other. One where he says that we recommend that people have negative kavana when they go to shul Friday night, that they should not be yotzei kiddush through the Friday night davening. And the other tshuva, it sounds like he's saying it's already assumed that that's the case, that because of the technical issues, we assume that when men go to shul Friday night, they have kavana not to be yotzei. So sometimes you have such a situation where a person doesn't want to be yotzei, so a lot of the Rishonim assume that works, that kavana hafachis works. And that seems to be saying that really it's not that mitzvahs don't need kavana. Mitzvahs do need kavana. But they have presumed kavana. But if you undo it, if you come and say, I want the kavana not to count, then maybe that will taka undo it. So the Rishonim would disagree. The Ritva, in his commentary to Rosh Hashanah, he has a statement where he says, "Afilu omed v'tzoveich," even a person is standing and screaming, "I don't want to be yotzei the mitzvah," it doesn't help. He apparently holds the mitzvah really is independent of kavana, and if you don't have it, you're still yotzei, even if you purposely try to say the opposite. And a lot of the Rishonim disagreed. A lot of the Rishonim thought that it does affect the negation of the mitzvah. Some pointed out, based on a Tosfos and Brachas and Daf Yud Beis, the whole discussion over there, where one could argue that really it's talking about something else, but a lot of the Rishonim, and Rav Svengel has a whole essay about this, they thought it was relevant. That the Gemara talks about Pasach HaShikra Adaita Dehamra, if somebody is going to drink their beer, and he has Kavana when he makes the Bracha, that he thinks it's wine. So he plans on making a Bar Priya Gafen, really it's a Shahakal, a whole discussion back and forth. So whether if he starts with one bracha in mind, then it's really the wrong bracha, so what impact does it have? And I'm speaking vaguely because the Rishonim have many different versions of what the suffix is. But some of the Rishonim ask, well, what does it matter what he had in mind? If you say mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, so then it should, what? If you say mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, then, sorry, didn't realize that. If you say mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, so then it shouldn't matter if he had the wrong bracha in mind. So some of the Rishonim who raise this issue, they say that, well, here it's worse because if you have kavana for something else, that's negative kavana. So that will negate the proper kavana. So it's interesting that the Rishonim who say this assume these two sugyas are related. Normally we talk about a kavana, we're talking about intent to do a mitzvah. Here we're talking about, in any event, you have intent to make a bracha. It's only a question of what bracha you have in mind. So the idea that these topics relate to each other is a little bit surprising, but again, you have this idea in Rishonim, so it seems to be a solid idea, even though without the Rishonim saying it, one could have questioned to what extent it's relevant. So this idea of negative kavana is one that the Rishonim debate, and seems to work off the premise that mitzvos ein tzrichas kavana doesn't really mean doesn't need kavana, but it means that the kavana is there and you can undermine it. Now then the next step presumably would be, if you accept this, so it may be that's the issue where it is also independently controversial, the issue of conditional kavana. Right? That let's say if somebody wants to have intent that I may want this to be a mitzvah or not, depending on what happens later. Right? That happens, so some of the Rishonim accepted such an idea and some didn't. There's a tshuva about this in the Anyag Yontif. It seems to be the next step beyond this discussion. Although in theory this allows for a few other models also, because you could be saying that if mitzvah strichos kavana, then you're saying I'm only going to provide the kavana under the right circumstances. So this comes up. So for example, I'll give you a case where it could come up. So some of the poskim held that kriyashma really should be recited only together. The kriyashma that you're being yotzei with should be recited together with davening, let's say in the morning. So, ideally, you will then daven before Zman Kriya Shema, so that you can say Kriya Shema together with your Shmon Esrei, with the Smichas Gula Tefillah. So what happens if the shul you're going to, they're going to daven at a time that's skirting the edge? You don't know if they're going to make Zman Kriya Shema or not. So you want to really be machmir to have your Kriya Shema together with your Shmon Esrei. But you're afraid that if you wait to get the Shmon Esrei, it may be too late. Maybe you'll lose it. So you don't want to lose Kriya Shema, so you want to say Kriya Shema before davening. But if you say it before davening, then that'll be your Kriya Shema, and then you'll lose your getting the shita of having Kriya Shema together with Shmon Esrei. So some say, okay, so I'll do a Tanai. I'll say Kriya Shema before davening, but I'll have Kavana that if the shul gets up to Shema in time, I don't want this to count. I want that to be my Shema. But if they don't, then I want this to count, and I'll have to give up on the smichas gula tefillah chumrah. Hi.
Is that what we say?
Mischafti
Allah, like in the morning, morning.
That's a little different. It's in the same section. That's what you mean. It's printed together with the karbanos. There's a kriya shema there where it says in some of the sidurim that you should have in mind, or that you should say shema now if you're not going to get up to it later. So it's in the same section of the Siddur, if that's what you mean. But the conditional part about the Karbanos is a whole different idea. Yeah, but that's talking about a past type of condition. But here we're saying that, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Let me have this intent that if it works out, then this shouldn't count. If it doesn't work out, this should count. It also comes up in Sefiras HaOmer. If a person is afraid that if he waits till the time when he's definitely Yotzei Sefiras HaOmer, then maybe he'll forget because he's in shul now, they're reminding, and if he waits later, maybe he'll forget. So you have the same story. Like maybe you want to count now, let's say after Shkia or after Plag, when you'd really rather wait till after Tzeis. But you'll say that, okay, I'll have Kavana that if I remember later, this shouldn't count for anything. If I don't remember later, then this should count for the mitzvah. So the whole idea of a conditional Kavana seems to be the next step beyond negative Kavana. That you can not only disqualify your mitzvah on your whim, but you can also conditionally disqualify it on your whim. It seems to emerge from that idea. Alternatively, it could also emerge from mitzvah srichas kavana and saying, I'll only provide the kavana if the circumstances are indicating that that's kedai. So this is a whole issue that seems to emerge from these debates. There's also a discussion some of the contemporaries Sfarim have. Can a person who is intending not to be yotzei the mitzvah, can he be motzei anybody else? Which could come up also. Like say, for example, let's say we mentioned before davening Friday night in shul. So let's say you have a shul, which as many shuls do, so let's say they recite Kiddush Friday night. So there's a whole story why that's done. One possibility is it's done in order to be motzei somebody who may not hear Kiddush otherwise. Now, clearly that's a very b'dievid way of doing it because it's not Makom Suda. And half the Rishonim would hold it's not even possible to be Yotzei anything, but there's a view in Rishonim you can be Yotzei Min HaTorah with not Makom Suda. So, the person making Kiddush presumably does not want this to be his Kiddush. He's probably going to go home and make Kiddush for himself, presumably. So he doesn't want to be Yotzei with that Kiddush. So, if the idea is that anyone else is going to be yotzei by listening to him, so it raises the question, so can you be yotzei through somebody who himself is intending not to? So that's an interesting question, you know, the question of whether it's considered to be a maisa mitzvah at all, even though it's not with kavana, that maybe the lack of kavana means you won't be yotzei, but it's still a maisa mitzvah, which also draws on the arvus concept, the whole concept of arvus, which is again from this week's parsha, means that even though, so arvus means, so for example, on Rosh Hashanah, let's say you go to shul and you hear the shofar, and then you want to go to the hospital, you want to go to the nursing home and blow shofar for other people. So how can you blow shofar for anybody else? You're not chayiv in shofar. You already hurt, so you're not chayiv to hear a shofar again. So you can't be motzi anybody else if you're not chayiv. So that's the concept of arvus, that as long as somebody else needs the mitzvah, so it keeps your chayiv alive. So that's usually the direction it goes in. You've already been yotzei, and still you can be motzi somebody else. We don't say you're not mechuyev, even though you've already been yotzei. So this would be the reverse, but there are those who understood it's relevant in a case like this also, that if you are not yotzei yet, but you're purposely not being yotzei now, can you still be motzi somebody else? If you're a technical mechuyev bedavar, but you're not using this for your mitzvah, maybe arvus also works in that reverse direction. So that's an interesting discussion as well. In the Sefer Shimon Shirim Berechman Sefer on Sukkah, so he quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, a whole discussion that some of this comes up. We mentioned before the question of Lulav and Esrog. So how do you deal with the bracha issue when it comes to Lulav and Esrog? So there are a number of suggestions in the Rishonim how to deal with it. The most common suggestion is that you should turn it upside down before you make the bracha, then make the bracha and turn the esrog right side up, because you're not yotzei with esrog upside down. That's the most common approach, you see. It's one of the approaches the Rishonim have. He mentions there that the Soloveitchik family had a different chumrah. They wouldn't pick up all the meaning. They'd pick up three of them first, and then make the bracha, and then pick up the other one. But there's an idea in Rishonim also, which doesn't seem to have taken off. And that some of the Rishonim say, you use a negative kavana, pick it up with negative kavana, and to then make the bracha, and then you'll have your positive kavana. So how come people don't do that? How come that didn't catch on, that idea? So Rav Soloveitchik, or Berechman quotes from Soloveitchik over there, is saying that maybe the machlokas, whether this is a good idea or not, so he says maybe it's not about whether negative kavana works. Maybe everyone agrees negative kavana works, but the machlokas is, what does overlas yastin mean? The idea that you want to do the bracha before the mitzvah, so does that mean it has to be only, it has to be before the kiyum ha-mitzvah? Or maybe it has to be even before the ma'isa ha-mitzvah. So if you're doing the ma'isa ha-mitzvah even without the kiyum, maybe that's still a problem for us. So maybe those who did not follow the suggestion in Tosfos, who felt that, no, it's not going to help, they agree that negative kavana works to knock out the mitzvah, but they feel that you have to have overlas yasim before even the maisa mitzvah. So therefore, it's not a good suggestion for this issue. And he extends this discussion because the Gemara, one of the Gemaras that talk about the mitzvah sriches kavana, is the Gemara in Erevin that talks about the question of a person putting on an extra pair of tefillin in order to carry it on Shabbos. So the question is, will he be in violation of Baal Tosef if he puts on two pairs of tefillin at once? So the Gemara seems to connect this to mitzvah sriches kavana, that if mitzvah sriches kavana, then he could have no kavana, and that will be okay, it won't be a problem of Baal Tosef. But if mitzvah ain't sriches kavana, it would be a problem of Baal Tosef. So in that discussion also, the Rav thought that mitzvah ain't sriches kavana, if negative kavana should be able to help there, saying no matter what, have negative kavana, and then you can wear two pairs of tefillin. So he thought that Baal Tosef is a function of a maisa ha-mitzvah, and that negative kavana would only knock out the kiyum, not the maisa. So you'll have the maisa mitzvah no matter what, and that's why that's going to be a problem as long as you assume mitzvos ein sriches kavana. So those are some of the ramifications of that. Hi.
Can you wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin and have conditional kavana?
Have, wear both at the same time?
Yeah.
And have conditional kavana that only one should count? Maybe. Yeah, could be.
Whichever
one is good should count. Yeah, maybe.
You can do a minhagim based on that. I can't think of mine. You should do 10 minhagim and just have conditional, you know.
Well, so the minhagim, he's working off the assumption that Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are mutually exclusive, right? That each one holds the other one as nothing, which is also a little bit of a discussion. But therefore, so he's saying, so you'll have, you wear both, but only one should count. So therefore, you'll have kavana that whichever one is right. Klape Shmaya, whichever one is right, that one should be the one that counts, and the other one shouldn't count for anything. Could be. So one could say a little bit Alpi Derech HaPilpo that if it's about Stamba Lashma, some kind of idea like that, then maybe one should say that in terms of Mitzvah Sriches Kavana, we should be Mechalik. That maybe Mitzvah Daraisa don't need Kavana. Because there is a whole idea that the Achronim have based on the Nesivus HaMishpat, assuming this is what the Nesivus meant, that mitzvahs daraisa, or let's say isurim daraisa, so if something's asur mina Torah, so then it can be asur b'cheftz, the item itself has isur in it. But if something's asur midrabanan, so then Chazal are empowered to address people but not objects. So the object's not going to become asur b'cheftza, just the individual is not allowed to use the object. So we could say by mitzvahs also that a mitzvah object min haTorah, maybe that includes its own kavana, so to speak. But a mitzvah midrabanan, so that's all on the gavra, so maybe the item does not contain its own self-enclosed kavana. So then one could follow that to say that mitzvah daraisa would not need kavana, that includes its own, and mitzvah darabanan would. One problem with that is that you find the opposite view in poskim. So the Magen Avraham quotes in the Radbaz the opposite, that mitzvah daraisa do need kavana, mitzvah darabanan don't. Presumably because of the safek question, that maybe mitzvah daraisa sveka l'chomer, mitzvah darabanan sveka l'hokel, so it comes out the opposite of what I just said. Although I did see in the Stei Chemed quotes one view, I forgot who it was, but he quotes one view that says, the way we're saying it, that maybe the Raises don't need Kavanah and the Rabbanans do, and then it kind of trails off, doesn't explain why, so we could say maybe Alpi Derech HaPilpul based on what we just said. Although again, it really is Alpi Derech HaPilpul, because really when we say it contains its own Kavanah, it probably doesn't mean there's a Kavanah in the Cheftza like that. It means that the circumstance, because of the elements of the circumstance, contains its own self-evident kavana. So that could be true even on a level of the Rabbanan too. So it's probably not really pshat. It's that again, al pi derech ha-pilpul. But it also could also explain the view that the Magid Mishnah, to bring us back to our question about shofar and matzah that you find there, that maybe the idea is that there's a chiluk that he and others bring, that a mitzvah that has an action, maybe that does not need kavana. But a mitzvah that's more passive in nature, so that needs kavana in order to make it into a mitzvah. So eating matzah, that's an action, so that maybe wouldn't need kavana. while blowing shofar, or hearing shofar rather, let's say, that could be totally passive. You could just be in the room when the shofar is being blown. So to make that into some kind of a mitzvah, you have to have awareness and intent that that should be a mitzvah. So maybe that's the distinction. Parenthetically, Rabbi Ruderman, Zichron Levracha, printed an article in the Sefer that was printed in honor of the Rav many years ago, a Sefer called Kavod HaRav. So there he suggests that what the Rambam is talking about there is really separate from the Kiyama Mitzvah. It's about the fact that you want somebody to be motzu, that people are fulfilling shofar through a Baal Tokeya. The idea is that you have to create a connection between the one blowing and the one listening, and that requires that type of kavana, but not, it's not a statement about mitzvahs in general or even mitzvah of shofar. It's a statement about the need to create this link between the one blowing and the one listening. There is a whole discussion. First of all, it's also interesting that there is a view in Rishonim, which is why I said before I didn't want to branch out into other examples of how you could do matzah without kavana, for example, because there are some Rishonim who maintain, like the Ran, which would really narrow things down, that even if you say you don't need kavana for matzah, it says you have to know that it's Pesach and know that it's matzah. It says if we're talking about somebody who thinks it's Purim and eats matzah, says that's not gonna, that everyone's gonna agree is not gonna count. Or if you have somebody who knows it's Pesach but he somehow thinks matzah is flesh, which is very hard to imagine, then that's also not something that anyone would think is yotzei. That you have to know it's matzah and know it's Pesach, and still you didn't plan on eating matzah and you weren't trying to do that now. So then that, those elements, that could create a mitzvah. But if you have no idea what's going on at all, so some of the Rishonim thought that that's not going to be a fulfillment in any sense. Another important issue to consider, just to mention one or two more points, and then we'll have to wrap up because it's late, but another issue to consider is if you assume mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavana, so many thought that, okay, so that's true that b'dieved mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavana, but maybe l'chadchila you should require kavana, that maybe that's always better. So yes, it's true l'chadchila in practice we'll say for sure you should have kavana, especially because it's a suffix and, you know, why not? But you know, this is assuming in a more theoretical level that even those who say for sure mitzvah saints v'chis kavana, would they say, but yeah, we still agree that l'chachila, you should need kavana. So there were those who maintained that, and there were those who brought arayas the other way. That, for example, some of those who maintained that you should need kavana, so they, if the mitzvahs need kavana, they point to a gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Brachos, where question of kavana for Kriya Shema comes up, and the raya brought from somebody who said to his attendant, you know, tell me to focus on Kriya Shema during this pasuk. So the assumption seems to be that that's a raya, mitzvahs need kavana, so maybe it's not a raya, maybe mitzvahs don't need kavana, but he was supposed to have kavana. So some say, oh, you see from there, that's a raya that no, if you say mitzvahs don't need kavana, they don't even need a l'charchila. That's the whole back and forth. Rav Shua Ehrenberg in his Tshuvas Advar Yehoshua, so he notes based on a Ramban, he says that he thinks that in any event, mitzvahs need kavana l'chadchila for a different reason. It's a separate din. This is a din of la'avdo b'chol uvavchem. You have to worship God with all of your heart. So he points based on a Ramban. He says that means that you bring your full focus to every mitzvah. Like it's a klolistic mitzvah of having awareness in your avodas Hashem, which is can create a l'chadchila even if the mitzvah itself doesn't contain that requirement. Your avodas Hashem, in a broad sense, has that requirement. Then there are those who go even further. This is a very depressing idea, but Rav Elchanan quotes an idea like this, and the Meiri also has an idea like this, that maybe if we say mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, all we mean, we don't mean you get any points for this. We mean that the mitzvah is done, that the mitzvah itself doesn't need kavana. But if you don't have kavana, you are not going to be makayim anything. You're not going to have any schar and shamayim for this mitzvah because that requires your full intent. It means that when we say mitzvah saints richas kavana, it means that the obligation of this mitzvah can be fulfilled with that intent. And then you're really messed over, because if you do it with that intent, so then the mitzvah is done and there's no point in doing it again because you're not mechuyev to do it twice. So the mitzvah is fulfilled, but you lose out because you don't have the kavanas mitzvah. So that's quite a harsh idea. It's not clear whether everyone would agree with that or not, but that's, again, certainly a reason to have kavanah. because that would be quite a loss. But whether or not that's the only way to see things is questionable, but that's another view that's out there. I'll just mention basically one more point just for the sake of accuracy. So we've mentioned so far a couple of crossovers that we should say stama lishma by mitzvos, and that idea and to what extent that it might be accepted or not accepted. I should just mention that not everyone thought that that was an appropriate use of language. That Birka Shmuel has an essay about this in his Sefer on Gittin. Others point this out as well, that maybe the language of stama lishma is a little bit inappropriate because lishma and kavan are two different things. That the Gemara talks about it by lishma. Lishma is an idea you have by Sefer Torah, or by a get, or by a karban, that the creation of certain situations or certain objects, so that requires intentional creation, and that requires that it be dedicated for a certain purpose. But a kavana is not the same thing. Kavana is the action, the mitzvah, so you do, you should have an awareness of the mitzvah. But that's not the same thing as lishma by an object, by a sefer Torah, by a get, by a karban. That's a different type of a concept. So then the question of whether stama that you find there and the status of stama lishma, whether that could be properly carried over to mitzvahs, there were those who would argue, those who don't think that's necessarily an appropriate thing to say. Okay, so maybe we'll call it there. It's a little bit late, but just very quickly, the key points we spoke about. We spoke about the question, the different implications in the Gemara about whether or not mitzvahs need kavana, the fact that it continues to be a machlokas among the Rishonim, and the Rambam, it's a question how the Rambam holds. By Matzah, he seems to say he needs, but does not need. By Shofar, he seems to say it does need. The Shulchan Aruch is also unclear, because the Shulchan Aruch says that Kriya Shema does need Kavana, but it's not clear whether he's saying that across the board or just by derises or just by situations where it wouldn't otherwise be obvious. So a much later discussion questioning how absolutely the Shulchan Aruch meant it. So all that discussion, we mentioned the idea that maybe he only needed the Rabbanan, unlikely that that's the case. Then we talked about the question of what does it mean to say mitzvahs don't need kavana? Does it mean it doesn't need at all, or it means that it has, it's inherent in the situation? And then that affects the question of whether negative kavana works or not, which affects then the question of whether conditional kavana is an option. And then we talked about what if you have negative kavana, can you be motzi somebody else, which is a situation that could come up. We talked about why this idea on the Rishonim to use negative kavana to deal with the Lulav and Esrog problem, why that idea didn't catch on, or Soloveitchik's suggestion that it only works to knock out a Kiyam mitzvah, not a Maisa mitzvah. Maybe Rav Elasi Aslan is related to a Maisa mitzvah, and maybe Baal Tosef is related to a Maisa mitzvah, and that affects that question as well. And then we talked about a possible way to suggest that maybe the Raisas don't need Kavana and the Rabbanans do need Kavana, but the fact that we find really the opposite in Poskim, the Magid of Ram, quoting from the Rabbah, is saying the opposite, but the Seich Hemed, much less well-known, quotes one view saying along what we were saying. But we mentioned that's really Al Pi Derech HaTopul, because practically speaking, it's probably not really what that whole idea means. And then we talked about the idea of saying if there's a Maisa, it shouldn't need Kavana. If there isn't, there is. And how the Magid Mishnah uses that approach to deal with the Rambam. And we mentioned Rav Ruderman's approach, that the Rambam's talking about a specific creation of relationship between the one blowing and the one listening. It's a whole different story. And then we talked about the question of, do you need Kavana lis l'chachila? The likelihood that that's the case. We mentioned the Dvar Yeshua's idea that you need Kavana l'chachila not even because of the mitzvah, but because of the general Avodas Hashem requirements. And then we mentioned the rather harsh view that Rav Elchanan quotes and the Miri has, that even if you say mitzvah ain't shrichas kavana, it just means the mitzvah is fulfilled, but you don't get any schar for it, and then you can't even do it again because the mitzvah is over. So it's really not a great situation. And then we mentioned also, just for the sake of accuracy, that it's questionable whether this idea that stama lishma, that we're assuming it's a kavana idea, that it's possible that that's not really accurate, that the two separate ideas, kavana l'chud and lishma l'chud. Okay, so we'll call it for there. I'll wish everybody a wonderful Shana Tova, Tikasim, Tikasim. Should have a wonderful good year, and Be'ez Hashem, I guess 2 weeks from tonight, we'll regroup in the next year. Okay, see you all next year. Have a wonderful night, and we'll